And welcome to tonight's program. My name's Ray. I'll be your host here on Butte Views and Beyond. Happy Thursday, almost Friday, I like to call it. Broadcasting out of Chico, California, wherever you're picking us up, whether it's on the radio at KZFR 90.1 FM, or maybe you're catching us on our stream at KZFR.org, or maybe on that smartphone app. Kind of dark and stormy out there. I understand there's a powerful thunderstorm cell moving across from Corning, Los Molinos, heading for the foothills. So if you're heading up and down 99, please drive carefully. Butte Views and Beyond is a program about the cultural assets of our area. And we like to talk about different things, including festivals, events, economic development through arts and culture, and just a good life, as I like to put it. Got a number of interviews for you today, so please stay tuned. We'll be right back. Ken Clark Trio, our theme song from Eternal Funk, title track, Eternal Funk. Love those guys. Check them on your different music providers. Ken Clark, of course, on the Big B3, Mike Malee on guitar, and Steve Chattis on the skins. Good stuff. Good stuff. We always start and end our show with Ken Clark and company. All right, we want to thank Friends of the Arts, your state and local partner to the California Arts Council, for supporting Butte Views and Beyond and KZFR. Friends of the Arts has been creating economic opportunities by producing and supporting events and publishing a bi-monthly arts and culture newsletter. To stay in the know or have your event listed, visit friendsof.art. And also by Drunken Dumpling in Chico, serving locally sourced fresh handmade Asian comfort food at 1414 Park Avenue, Suite 120, right behind Nobby's. Open 9 to 4, Tuesday through Thursday, 11 to 9, Friday, Saturday. Details on Facebook, Instagram, and at drunkendumpling.com, where food, where they love food, flavor, and the community. All right, very cool. Got some interviews for you. We'll get right to it. And, ooh, look at that. The sun is lighting up the water towers right outside the window, high atop the Bressler Waterman building here in downtown Chico. Definitely a pleasure for the eyes. Alrighty, let's welcome our first guest, and thanks again for tuning in to Butte Views and Beyond. I'd like to welcome Sandy Fisher, longtime fabric artist here in our area, Chico, Butte County. Thanks for joining us on Butte Views and Beyond this evening.
Oh, thank you, Ray, for having me. It's good to talk with you.
Yeah, I think it's been a couple of years. I think we've talked to you a few years back, but you guys, you and other collaborating artists are putting together a little art show I thought we'd talk about, and then also kind of the work that you do, and you're kind of doing some really innovative, let's see, it's not farm to fork, it's like field to blanket or jacket.
Yeah, there's some new terminology we're trying to figure it out, you know, because it is definitely from the field to wearables to garments to,
yeah.
It's pretty exciting.
The full thing. So tell us about the Art on Arbutus that's coming up.
Yes, Art on Arbutus is actually, I open up my home because I just love art, and I've shared it a couple of years now. I think we've been doing it for maybe 4 or 5 years, where I invite different artists in. And this year I have two painters and a mosaic artist, Dolores Mitchell, who a lot of you might know, who does wonderful oils. And then Eva Farley, who does flowers and plants. And then a new member is Jan Somerville, who is just starting out doing mosaics. And our theme has been spring because the show is April 14th and 15th, which is a Friday and Saturday. And we'll be doing emphasis with spring colors, things of nature. You know, take Eva's work. It's always with animals and flowers. Jan is sharing a lot. She lives in the foothills, so she has a lot of inspiration around her. So a lot of things of nature are brought into the work. And then Dolores is always out in the, a lot of people are familiar with her work and bright, bright colors and oils, where she's out in the, you know, around the Sutter Buttes or familiar sites of Northern California.
Yeah, she does pretty psychedelic work, I'll tell you.
Yeah, it's pretty trippy. And you know, it's such a nice balance because we have great lighting here in my home. And then myself, I've changed my whole emphasis of weaving. Those who have known me for many years as a dyer of natural fibers, but I've really gotten to thinking about where my material comes from. So, and it's, you know, the textile industry, as you know, is one of the baddies out there.
Right.
You know, with waste and the dumps and, you know, nothing composting. So I know that my hand wovens have always been natural fibers, but let's take it a step further of knowing where that source comes from. So the wools I use are all within 150 mile radius, literally. I mean, the woman up in Modoc County has beautiful Rambouillet sheep, and I use her wool. The cotton is from a woman who grows it down in Capay Valley, Sally Fox. She has come up, she's a plant scientist and has developed a brown cotton. It's all organic and even a green. It's amazing to work with. And not only is it locally, but it's the way that they treat the soil. And then myself, and you mentioned earlier, I'm growing flax to make linen here in Chico. And how do we get that quality out of the soil? It's really become an emphasis because I'm looking at it as the finished, this is the artist who wants to work with that material, but I also want quality. And we're doing out here, thank you to Chico State University's Regenerative Agriculture Department. We are practicing those, implementing those practices in our farm. And that means cover crops, rotation, keeping the water as best we can, because here we are in a drought, but cover crops maintain that. And then now that we have this deluge of water, it absorbs that water. It gets it back in the aquifer because of the plants that we're using while we're growing the flax on the side, but we're also doing cover crop rotation. So it's been a really exciting venture, but then taking that material that I grow, we process it, and there are no linen mills in America. So I'm having to start from scratch for my material. I literally am working with engineering students to develop mechanized tools. I mean, the tools I've had since I've started are colonial era wooden tools.
Oh, really? Wow.
It's insane. But we're getting through it, but we're getting some parts of it are mechanical now, and that's helped the process. And then I can't spin pure linen unless I'm I can take it to a hand spinner, which I do. But we blend it with wool at a local mill in Ukiah. And also I take Sally's cotton, and I've had to go a little further afield. I've kind of broken my 105 5-mile radius for production, but right. I take it to North Carolina to get it into cotton and linen. But my materials now are made with that. And then the step further I go is, okay, they're beautiful in their natural state, but I also like color. So I get my colors from nature. I've been growing them in my garden, or I might go out and collect them in the foothills like Toyon, in areas where it's safe to collect. I don't go on people's properties and pick away, but on a very small scale, I'll do that in nature. I don't want to take down things. I'm very careful about that too. But, you know, I'll take a little bit of this color from nature and put it in my work. So the whole, my whole emphasis now is that you can take my shawl or my placemat or whatever I make, and you can literally recycle it if you get tired of it, and you can put it in your compost pile. I mean, so that whole circle of the, you know, growing the plant from the healthy soil, and then whatever you put on that, be it the natural dyes, won't pollute the environment, and it comes back. So it's a really rewarding way to express my work in these
days. Yeah, oh, I'm sure. And it's right back to where it started, right? I mean, it goes back to the original weavers of, Northern Europe, I think, is where I'm sure it started in every culture.
Right. Well, when you think of linen, you're right. It is that Northern European, you know. In fact, they still, and I think they always will. But it's kind of interesting because in America, there's this resurgence of wanting to grow linen. People from, you know, various parts. There's a group in Pennsylvania. There's a group. So it's introduced to me to all kinds of people. People in Oregon that are wanting to bring this industry, you know, here. I mean, we have had it, but back, like I'm going to mention Oregon, they did have a linen mill before World War II, and then polyesters came in, and who wants to iron, and who wants to, you know, so it really took it down. But, and also in our mindset, we have this history of cotton, you know, and so then when technology came, we got the cotton gin. And so, you know, that became kind of more our industry plus, you know, the slave trade. I mean, it was just, that's.
Well, and the environment, I mean, the drier, you know, it was just, yeah, cotton was there. I mean, California was a huge cotton producing area in the 1860s, 70s, 80s. Cotton was king, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was big in the Southeast, you know, for years and years, but it was a huge crop. As a matter of fact, I remember, I'll tell you my story. Yeah. Everybody's got a story, right? We were driving down the I-5 down by Fresno, and there was a fire in the cotton fields.
Oh, whoa.
And we're driving through, and all this, and it's, you know, it's pitch black. You know, it was like 10 or 11 at night, and these cotton fields were on fire, and it was blowing flaming balls of cotton across the freeway. And they had, like, crop duster planes coming and dropping water on them. Mm. And it was, it was just, like, complete chaos. It was It was insane. That's when I first learned of cotton growing in the valley.
That's true. I, you know, the Southern California area and the whole thing, it was a big industry. Yeah.
It's all been replaced by walnuts and almonds these days in the last 30 years. But anyway, that's another program.
Yes.
So Dolores Mitchell and Jen Summerfield, I'm familiar with her work. She's great. Does a lot of beautiful work. And then Eva Farley.
Yeah. So the four of us, we're getting together, and we'll be here, and we invite everyone to come. And
yeah, is there a Facebook or anything like that, or do people just show up? Do you want to, you know?
Well, the hours will be from on the 14th, which is Friday, from 2 to 7. And then they'll be on Saturday from 11 to 3. And the address is 853 Arbutus Avenue. We'll have signs out. Each of us, as far as a personal Facebook page to that, there isn't, but all of us have our own Facebook pages. We're getting it out. And then, you know, letting the word get out through your program and other.
Kind of the arts network.
Yes.
Get on that Upstate Community Advancement Foundation last for sure.
We're getting it all out there. So,
out through the side channels of the arts, as we like
that's
to call
it. Art networking.
Art networking. Exactly. Yeah. A quick question. So how much flax, right? So you're growing flax that is then blended with cotton to make linen.
Actually, it's kind of one of those funny words. Flax is linen.
Flax is linen. Okay.
Right. I should have mentioned that earlier because, you know, we just think cotton is cotton, wool is wool, and so forth. Silk is silk. But for some reason, it's kept the name flax until it's actually spun into something. Then it becomes linen. So I can legitimately say that I'm growing flax to make linen that I blend with cotton. So when it's blended into the cotton, then it's a cotton and linen blend, or it's a wool.
Got it. And you're using the fibers of the flax plant, not the seeds.
No, not the seeds. No, no. And actually, it's a different kind of plant that's been since Egyptian days and beyond.
Right. Yeah. No, the Egyptians were making linen.
And when you think, we call it, it's the same botanical name. But when you look at the plant, you've got food flax or fiber flax. That's how they
use it. Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. And so the food flax is much shorter. And of course, we want it for seeds.
Right.
And so it's been developed to have big, lots of seeds and be tiny because those seed heads are heavy. But when we're going for fiber, we want the tall, long fiber and we don't need as many seeds. So, I mean, I can nutritionally, I'll get the same amount and eat my seeds of my fiber, but they're pretty precious because they're designed to go tall. So I kind of keep them for fiber. And also because I want them tall, I don't want to have a lot of seeds on them, obviously, because they would lodge in the wind and so forth. So.
Gotcha. Very interesting. Yeah, I just read a fascinating book about kind of the history of Genghis Khan and the Mongol Empire, and they were master weavers. They didn't need iron shields. They had fabric shields and fabric.
They probably were using a linen type. It's one of the toughest ones around.
They grew up on the Mongolian plains and stuff. Anyway, it's fascinating stuff, and they were much. They were much faster and quicker, and that's why they were such phenomenal. What should we say? Conquerors, warriors. I don't know. Civilization, whatever it was. Anyway, so how much flax does it take? Is it an acre equals?
It's a good question. We've actually been starting very slow because we've had to heal the soil where we are. It's an almond orchard, and it had chemicals in it, and so we're cleaning it up by using cover crops. So we've done first we did a 50 by 50 plot. And now we had an acre and then we had 2 acres growing a couple of years ago and then COVID hit. And so we couldn't get our helpers. So to answer your question, we've got a 3.75 acres available to us, but we've only been going in baby steps. So this year we've got 2 acres growing and we will get all of that. Out of that 2 acres, if we process it right, and we perfect those skills, which we're working on. Yeah. We should get as much as, I'm going to use a quantity of 4,000 shirts out of that.
Wow. Oh, that's huge.
And that's going by the data that we found from Europe and our growing rate is compatible to that because we have done enough, even on a small scale to say, okay, if we multiplied that, we would have that volume.
Yeah.
Of fiber. So I really kind of am, the more I've been doing this for 12 years and the more I think about it, the more I think that a small scale farm such as ours, 3.75 acres, could yield enough to really be profitable for a small farmer. And because we winter over, it's an annual here in Chico because it can't take our heat. And so then you've got the other parts of that land that you could grow food or you could grow another kind of crop. And it would be a year round kind of use for the land. Plus, it's helping the land. It's carbon sequestration. It's sustainable. So it's a kind of a win-win for the small farmer. And I think I used to think that we'd have farmers growing it. We could buy big acres and then it'd feed this mill. Well, in some ways that's the ideal situation because our demands would be such. But I really think that a series of small farmers could make it work in Northern California. That's how I'm looking at it.
Yeah. Right. Oh, that sounds great. That's great. Honestly, that's so exciting. All right, let's recap because we're already 15 minutes. We're blowing right
through. Oh, we are. Oh, you can edit a lot of this, I'm sure.
It's amazing once we start going. Well, I mean, honestly, that is a huge yield for such a small area. Yeah. I was thinking it was going to take this great expanse, but that's incredible. So it's a really sustainable concept. Not only that, I'm just blown away by that 4,000 off of an acre. All right, talking to Sandy Fisher. If you'd like more information about Art on Arbutus, you can check out their website. It's going to be on April 14th and 15th, on Friday the 14th, 2 to 7, on Saturday the 15th, 11 to 3, at 853 Arbutus. Is that right?
Correct. Correct. Yeah. We'll have signs out. So do come and see, and you can see the fiber that I've been working with and made into beautiful things. So.
Awesome. Hey, thank you. And thank you for the education. And it's so interesting to have these conversations and kind of see. It's good to get some good news.
Thank you.
All righty. Have a great evening. All righty. Thank you, Sandy, for joining us on Butte Views and Beyond. We're going to take a little musical break, and we'll be back in just a minute right here on the Mighty Zephyr. All right, little Kenny Barron there for you. Hey, it's me you're talking to from other places. Nice. Bobby Hutchinson on vibes and Ralph Moore. Playing tenor and soprano on this album, playing them both. Rufus Reed on bass, fun stuff. Victor Lewis on drums and, of course, Kenny on piano. All righty, let's slide right into our next interview here on Butte Views and Beyond. I would love to welcome back our friends from the Arc of Butte County, Carly Hines, who is the resource development person there, and then Lisa Gunn, who's the executive director. Thanks for taking time with us here on Butte Views and Beyond.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, great. Great to have you guys on again. And it is that time of year again. You're having your 20th annual beer, wine, and food event?
Yes, we are. So it's going to be Saturday, April 1st from 3 to 6 p.m. And we are selling tickets on our Facebook, on our website. You just go to Eventbrite and you can type in the Arc of Butte County 20th Annual Wine, Beer, and Food Event. So you can easily access our tickets there. Or if you'd rather kind of have a tangible physical ticket, you're welcome to come into our thrift store and buy a ticket there. Each tickets are about $40, and the event itself is going to have roughly 13 different vendors, kind of ranging from wine, beer, and cider, and then we're going to have some good snacks that people can kind of snack on throughout, and we'll have a variety of auction baskets, some traveling packages that we're going to auction, as well as some client art and some live music from Soul Posse. So some of the vendors were expecting to have are going to be Farmers Brewing, Secret Trail Brewing, La Rocca Vineyards, Hickman Family Vineyards, Lassen Cider Co. So those are just a few. And then all of the proceeds go directly back to the ARC, whether it be for our adult day programs in Chico and Orville, our family support groups that we have, which one support group helps the parents, the other support group helps siblings of disabled children, or our independent living skills. So yeah, all proceeds are going right back to our organization.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And it's really nice that you have a bunch of local wineries and brewers involved and cider. It's always nice to support the local producers.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And if people don't know, the address of the thrift store right there on Park Avenue.
Yes, so that's 2020 Park Ave. And then where the event will be held itself is going to be 2040 Park Ave, Chico, California, 95928. So we're all kind of within the same parking lot almost. So the thrift store and then the admin office and then our pavilion where the event will be held.
Yeah, the ARC Pavilion, for those that don't know, it's right off of East Avenue, but you got to pull into the parking lot to get to it. And it's just above 20th Street. So,
yes.
Easy access, easy freeway in and out. So tell us, let's talk. And again, this is the 20th year you've done this?
Yeah, so we had to take a pause during COVID. So this is our first time doing the event since 2019. We were all ready to do the event in 2020. I think we had a week left and then COVID hit. And so we had to cancel the event, which was pretty unfortunate. But that's why we're so excited this year, is because, you know, we get to see a lot of friendly faces that have been supporting us for years and just kind of come together. Chico's such a beer town, so it'll be nice to just drink some beer and wine and all just kind of hang out and listen to live music and support a good cause.
Oh, yeah. And Soul Posse is a great band. So that's awesome.
Yeah. 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 We're excited. What does Nelson do?
He works in their day program.
Yeah. He was he was in charge of our day program for many years and he's in the band. So it's nice to have someone that loves the ARC and is also a musician.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very, very Chico, right?
Yeah. It's very Chico.
Very Chico. Well, you guys at ARC, I mean, let's talk a little bit about the organization, how long you've been around and the many, many, many programs that you guys have.
Yeah, so we've been operating for almost 60 years now. The ARC kind of started as a organization that was started by parents, actually, that kind of realized there was this common need within the community of helping disabled children and helping parents of disabled children. And so ARC kind of opened its doors in 1957.
Yeah.
And so now there's multiple chapters throughout the U.S. And so we offer, like I said, we offer two adult day programs, one in Chico and one in Orville. And then we have independent living skills, which helps adults with disabilities learn how to manage money, run errands, go to doctor's appointments. And then we also have respite care, which is in-home care. And then we also employ our clients at the thrift store, which is really cool. So always feel free to come in and say hi to them. And then we also have two main support groups running right now. One is a family support group that's designed for parents to come together and kind of we watch their children while they get to meet with each other. And then I'm running a support group for children, for siblings of disabled children. So I have two going. One is actually going to be this weekend, March 25th and March 26th. I'll be posting it on our Facebook for kind of the times and it places, but yeah, so we kind of have those two support groups going and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I think do a lot in the Tri-County area.
Yeah. So we serve the greater Butte County. So we have clients in Glen, Tehama, and Butte County. And then,
And then as far as the workshops you have coming up, is that something people pre-register for or do they just go to the Facebook page to get the information?
Yeah, so usually with those, we prefer if you do the flyers on our website, and I'll be sending out an email if you subscribe to our email. And we usually like to know if you're coming just because we always provide food. So it's good to know how many people are coming just so we can provide an adequate amount of food.
Got you. Okay. And ARC.org? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, ARCButte.org. And then ARC. Facebook is just the ARC of Butte County.
Gotcha. ARC of Butte County, right on. It's so important that, and I've been involved in some of these things, the caregivers, you know, to identify them, to honor them, and to give them a little bit of a break, and those kind of things is really important, because it's a huge task.
Yeah, it is. It's a really demanding job, and a lot of times, you know, kind of before we could offer respite care, it was a lot of unpaid labor. And so now we're able to pay people for the labor they do, even though, you know, it's labor of love. And a lot of times it's parents or grandparents that are watching kids, but still it's nice to be able to be at home and still know that you can make ends meet and be compensated for taking care of your child as well.
Yeah, that's great. And you guys, you said you also work in Glen. Now do you work in Tehama and Plumas as well? Or what's your
just area? Just Glen and Tehama. Our main office is in Chico, and then our day programs are in Chico and Orville. But yeah, we do have respite care providers that are in Glen and Tehama. So
gotcha.
They'll usually contract through us.
Right, right. Great. Well, very cool. Well, if people are just joining us, we are talking to Carly and Lisa from the Arquebute County, and they are getting ready for their 20th annual beer, wine, and food festival. And again, on Saturday, April 1st, 3 to 6 p.m., tell us again a little bit about what you have for those that just joined us.
Yeah. So our tickets are $40 each, and we're going to have kind of a variety of wine and beer vendors. We're going to have, for example, Mulberry Station, Lassen Cider Co., Farmers, Secret Trail, La Rocca, Alamendra, just to name a few. We have about 13, and then we're going to have a variety of snacks, desserts, and live music from Soul Posse, and then we'll also have some really wonderful auction baskets and kind of some traveling packages, as well as some client art. And so all of the proceeds are going to go straight back to the ARC, whether it be in our programs such as our adult day programs, respite care, independent living skills, or our family support groups.
Great. I mean, it's such a local Chico thing too. I mean, just on the when you go down the list of providers and vendors and that, it's like if you're down with local, this is the event to go to, that's for sure.
Yeah, and one of our kind of just some examples of, I've been putting a bunch of auction baskets together, which has been super fun. And one of the baskets is going to be kind of a Chico local one, in which I just have all local goods. And then we'll have kind of a summer and camping getaway basket with gift cards to Highlands Ranch Resort and some free horseback riding, and then some gift cards to Unwind and Wine Time. So if any of those sound good, come on over, and we have some awesome auction baskets waiting for you.
Oh, that sounds super fun. That sounds super fun. All the details are at arcbutte.org, or check them on Facebook, or just bop in to the retail store, 2020 Park Avenue. Is that right?
Yep.
2020 Park Avenue. You could buy your tickets there, or you can buy them online. Very cool. Very cool. Thank you, ladies, for joining us today on Butte View, and best of luck, and keep on rolling, man.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you so much.
All right, take care. Very nice to see that event come back and show some support for all the great work that the Arquebute County does and has been doing for years and years in our community. A lot of people heard about it. People don't really know what they do, so it's really, really important stuff on so many levels. All righty, we're going to have a music break, but this is a music break with a purpose. We're going to listen to one of my favorite local singers, Kazira Bradford, and I'm going to talk to her. We're going to talk to her after the song, but this is one of her original pieces that with a story tied to it. She had a place down in Costa Rica, I believe, and anyway, sweet song, fun stuff. She's going to be coming to the Women's Club at the end of the month, so I thought, what a perfect way. So we're going to let the whole thing roll and let you kind of groove on this, and then we'll have a little chat with Kazira and our own Jim Schmidt, one of the hosts of Facets of Jazz, fabulous piano player, and doing a lot of good work to help support the Chico Women's Club. So come back in just a second here on Butte Views and Beyond. Thank you. Well, it's a real honor to welcome Jim Schmidt and Kazira Bradford to the program. And just a little, what do we call that? Full disclosure, Jim Schmidt is also a programmer on KCFR, of course, one of the longtime hosts of Facets of Jazz every Tuesday morning from 9 to 11:30. And he's also a retired educator at Chico State, teaching music, jazz, all kind of stuff. And just heavily involved these days with the Chico Women's Club and recently bringing back the Ebony and Ivory series. So we'll talk about that, which of course focuses a lot on some of the music that we absolutely love, myself as well, which is jazz, which brings in Kazira, who is one of our just delightful singers here in the area. Thanks, guys, for joining us tonight.
You're welcome.
All righty. So, Jim, why don't you tell us a little bit about the upcoming performance that you're producing for the Women's Club?
First, let me say, I worked at Butte College, not at Chico State.
Butte College. Yeah, there you go.
the upcoming concert features Kazira Bradford. She's done at least two other concerts for Ebony and Ivory between 2016 and when we finished in 2018. And she's put a band together with Kari Cowell on drums and Gary Borg on bass. He's a wonderful player. And Sid Walker, who's a great fiddle player, he's going to be there. And Kazira will be doing the singing. I'm going to sit in and play two songs, but Webster Moore is doing the majority of the piano work. And it should be a great concert. The doors open at 6:30 at the Women's Club, and the show starts at 7. Should be done by 8:30, or we always say that, but it'll probably be closer to 9 before it's finished, because people love the music and they want more.
And what's the date on that event?
March 31st, Friday. The Ebony and Ivory concerts all took place on a Friday. We did about 25 of them all together over a 5-year period. So be there. And I think it's not supposed to be raining on Friday. So that's still a week and a half away, but keeping my fingers crossed.
All right. And Kazira, you've been out and about getting out, doing some gigs around at some of the local restaurants.
Yes. Yes.
And, how long have you been singing with this particular band, or is this a new ensemble?
Well, I've been working with Gary Borg for a few years, and Kari Carwell has been doing drums for me for a couple of years. Sid is there off and on whenever he can get to one of the gigs. And we're using Webster Moore, and this is the first time I've ever worked with him, and I had a rehearsal with him yesterday, and I'm really excited to work with him. So it should be a really good concert.
Oh, yeah. And I'm hoping that our listeners are familiar with your music. We're going to play some during the program today, of course. But tell us a little bit about your background, how you got involved in those kind of things. And, this isn't something that's new for you. You've been doing this a while.
Well, I started singing in 2000, but that was just it just happened that someone heard me humming to something and told me that I could sing and told me that I should try it. So I gave it a try and stumbled into it. And it's been going pretty good ever since then. So it's been about 22 years. And I do a mix of music, anywhere from jazz, soul. I could do Bonnie Raitt. I may do Sade. I do some Jimi Hendrix. So I do a lot of different stuff. And I really just call it songs that I like.
There you go. Music we like to hear. That's what I like to call it.
true.
Well, back in the day when we were doing a NorCal Jazz Festival, we were lucky enough to have you at a couple of gigs. And like Jim said, you've done a couple at the Women's Club. We had you at the Salmon Festival back in the day. And it's just really, like I said, it's music you like to hear. It's just good music. And whether it's your originals or some cover tunes and things like that. So it's going to definitely be a great evening, and it's really exciting to see this back out, coming to blossom right here in the spring.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, the Ebony and Ivory concert started as a way of earning money to pay for the restoration of the Steinway Grand that had been in the hall since 1933. It had been through a fire and quite a unasked for drinks had been poured into the piano by mistake. And so a restoration refurbishment effort began. And when the concerts began, the work had been done, but we needed to raise money to pay for it. And the new Ebony and Ivory concert series is to help fund scholarships and to maintain this beautiful piano built in 1911. It is gorgeous Steinway. And loud. It's great to play it in there without amplification.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the gems. And so the main cost of the restoration is done. Now it's just maintenance, and you've started a scholarship program as well?
Yes, and for the concerts ended in 2018, but those of us who put them together, including Kazira, kept wishing that we could do another one. And this all kind of came up about 6 weeks ago, and it turns out that Zero sort of led the charge, and we convinced the Women's Club to do a concert in March 31st, and here we go again.
All right.
So it's pretty exciting that we're going to be able to do some more of these.
Oh, that's great. Are you looking at possibly scheduling it out? I mean, back in the day, you did like one a month, right?
We started the first year, which was 2013. I got involved after the first concert. I think it was Laurie Dana, and I was just hanging around. And I had been playing the Steinway before it was refurbished since I moved to Chico in 73. And I asked what was going on with these, and it turned out I just said, can I help? And I started becoming a kind of a master of ceremonies, shared with Glenda Lee Hoffman. But I also was able to pick the bands. And gratefully, most of the bands, I'd say 90% of them, work without pay. They just like the idea of doing a concert and refurbishing the piano and paying for it. And so, not all of them did, but most of them. And, you know, we got concerts with Dr. Robert Bowman from Chico State's classical piano program, and he brought in great concerts. I think he did three, including classical pianists and singers. We featured all kinds of people over these number of concerts from our area. In fact, I just learned, of course, recently that Alan Rigg passed away recently, and he did a concert for us in 2015, and it was a great jam. It was a New Orleans concert. It was wonderful. But lots of other people have been playing there. Shigemi Minnetaka, the Groove Diggers, which was my band with a whole bunch of players. Laurie Dana did a concert every year, and I'm looking forward to her doing one in our series coming up. And my feeling is if we could get three in this year, we'd be really happy. That would be a great number to get in.
That'd be great. That'd be great. No, it's good to see these things coming back. And again, seeing some, I don't want to say jazz. I mean, yeah, jazz, kind of pop soul. I mean, I love that sound and just fun stuff. So, Kajira, what do you have other projects up in the works? Or are you at some restaurants these days? Where are you at?
I'm going to be at the Fifth Street Steakhouse in June.
Oh, good.
And I'm hoping to play at El Mindro's in the future.
Okay.
I've played at a lot of other places through Chico over the past few years. And I'm just really excited to be the first one to bring back the Ebony and Ivory. The Chico's Women's Center has really incredible acoustics in there. And I really enjoy that stage and working that stage. So this is really exciting for me. And besides the group that I'm putting together that we're going to do and the music that we have been going over that we're going to present. Yeah.
All right. Sounds fun. And hey, thanks for leading the charge and dusting this baby off and getting it back on the tracks. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. The original members, Connie Wright, Glenda Lee Hoffman, Joy Mendoza, Brenda Lockie Knight, and me were the committee that kept putting these together for over all these years. And so we were always there. But the other person that was at every concert was piano tuner Phil Frankenberg, who loves that piano and does a wonderful job of tuning it. He tuned them for every concert because the concerts feature the piano. Every group plays that piano who comes in and uses that. It's been a real treat. Charlie Robinson did a couple of gigs and he didn't use the piano, but that was okay with us. Charlie could do whatever he wanted to do.
Yeah, Charlie's got all right, carte blanche, baby.
Yeah.
Whatever you need. Whatever you need. Very cool. Well, thank you guys so much. And again, I'm speaking with Jim Schmidt, who is one of the fastest of jazz programmers, the second Tuesday of the month, and also is helping to organize the Ebony and Ivory concert series at the Chico Women's Club. And Kajira Bradford, who is also kind of the driving force in bringing this back. And also a fabulous vocalist on our own merit. And it's going to be on Friday, March 31st. Doors at 6:30, show at 7. Tickets at the door? Is that the story?
Tickets at the door, but you can go onto the Chico Women's Club website and go to events, and you can get tickets ahead of time through events. And they're paid through PayPal, so you don't actually get a ticket, but your name will be on a list when you get to the door.
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah, doors at 6:30, show at 7, and going to be a fabulous evening. And again, it's nice to, the rain will be stopped. It's not, springtime and the Women's Club, it's just got that vibe. And especially for this kind of music, It's got that wood feeling, you know?
Mm-hmm. Thanks for having us, Ray.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you. All right. Thank you, guys. And I hope to talk to you again soon.
Right.
We'll see you on the 31st.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Another fun event coming to the Women's Club for sure. And we definitely look forward to that. And let's slide another Kazira tune for you here. We'll get a little warm up, get that going, and we'll be back in just a few minutes and wrap it up here on Facets of Jazz. Thanks for tuning in today. It's great to have you on board. All right, we're starting to wind it down here at Facets of Jazz. Let's thank some, let's talk about a couple of other things that are happening. Of course, on Easter Sunday, April 9th, it is a real, I know it's a big tradition in my world and in our family, is Pancakes for Chat. That's right, you remember that, Pancakes for Chat, you got it. At the Chico Women's Club, it's going to be on Sunday, April 9th, Easter Sunday, 8 a.m. till noon, with the ever-popular Easter Egg Hunt at 10:30. And that's going to be held right over there at the Card Center off of Valambrosia, across from the post office, 245 Valambrosia. And silent auction, all that good stuff. Great fundraiser for Chico Housing Action Team. Organic whole wheat and corn pancakes, organic maple syrup, organic scrambled eggs, organic coffee, organic fruit, and sausage. There you have it. Pancakes for Peace coming up. Great thing to support. If you've been, I'll see you there. If you've never been, check it out. It's really fun. You know, you can kind of drop in throughout the day. I would say the busiest time is between 10 and 11 around the Easter egg hunt. But you can go early. You can come late. You know, help them clean up, too. Pretty cool. See some old friends. Make some new ones. And then also, I've talked about this. We had a couple of shows about it. And for some of the arts people out there, the Upstate Creative California Corps is a program of the California Arts Council and Upstate Community Enhancement Foundation, our state local partner to the California Arts Council, who's also sponsoring this show. We're helping to facilitate this grant here in Butte County, and the deadline has just been extended. It was April 14th. It has now been extended to 11:59 p.m. on April 28th. So if you go to either the Upstate Community Enhancement Foundation Facebook page, or if you check out the Upstate Creative California Corps Facebook page, you'll get all the details, links, and all that good stuff. There is workshops. There are recordings of past workshops if you'd like to view them. Anyway, there's information on there. If you're interested or want more information, check out those two sites, and we'll get some information to you. Alrighty, Peanut Butter and Jelly coming right up. We want to thank D.A. Lampe Construction, a proud supporter of KCFR and Community Radio in Northern California. More information, visit D.A. Lampe, L-A-M-P-E, construction.com. And also by Mountain Sports, for over 45 years providing outdoor clothing and equipment for hiking, backpacking, camping, traveling, and enjoying the great outdoors. Mountain Sports is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m., 5:30 p.m., 11 to 4 on Sunday, at 176 East 3rd Street in downtown Chico. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We're going to go out with a little more Ken Clark, and Peter Bruno Jelly Time is right on deck. Have a great evening.
Peanut butter jelly time. Way out.